Hello, and welcome to the Data Development Podcast from Venturi's Voice. I'm your host, Andy Davis. In this show, I'll be chatting to data experts from all sectors about their careers in tech. The show aims to bring you insights, anecdotes, and stories from like-minded professionals that you can learn from and apply to your own career. If you like the show and you want to hear more from us, you can follow us via SoundCloud, iTunes, or Spotify, or you can join us on Slack. Thank you, and enjoy the show. All right, we've got Natalie Botha here. She's the Head of Systems and Data Analytics for Credit Specialties at Marsh JLT Specialty. Absolute pleasure to have you on the show, Natalie.
Thank you.
Pleasure to have you on. Loads to talk about. We were actually already starting a mini kind of podcast before we got on the show here, so I'm definitely going to kind of revisit some of those discussion points as we progress here. But before we do get started, just wondered if you wouldn't mind giving the listeners a bit of an overview of some of your kind of background and experiences.
Yep, so my journey within insurance started off about 15 years ago now, and that was working in exposure management, working for a variety of Lloyd's syndicates for an outsource company, and just looking after their data. You know, heavily data processed. And following on from that, I started working for a Lloyd's-based syndicate, working within catastrophe modelling, and developed my data and analytical skills there. My main focus was on man-made risks, so particularly terrorism was where I was quite heavily focused. And then from there, decided to move on to the broking side, was offered a job here at Marsh JLT, or JLT as then, now Marsh JLT Specialty, and started off here with looking at terrorism catastrophe modelling and one of the bespoke systems that we had here, and then from that moved into heading up the data and analytics side for credit specialties, with a particular focus now on credit. So still within the sort of man-made side of things, with political risks being involved in that, a little bit less on the terrorism side.
Absolutely. Awesome. That's well, who thought insurance was boring, eh?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think one of the things that I've always found quite fascinating is that everybody always says, I fell into insurance, and that is exactly what happened to me. I didn't have any thoughts about insurance, you know, didn't even really realise that was a thing. As I've said before, you know, my background, I did a, you know, degree at university in interior design that I didn't finish. So came out with a diploma in interior design, and just ended up working in insurance.
Yeah, I know. Well, I think it's one of those industries, potentially like finance, that seems to have some sort of interesting disruption happening at the moment. I think a lot of it is, you know, driven by the amazing things we can now do with data and analytics. But they are all of a sudden becoming rather interesting, and hopefully, I certainly think within finance that there's certainly a bit of it's managed to shrug it off a little bit, the stereotype of it not being the most compelling place to be. But I do think insurance is certainly going down that road as well, especially some of the kind of consumer facing ones that we're now seeing emerge.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, everybody thinks about insurance and they think about personal lines where it's houses and cars.
Yeah.
But when you start looking at the specialty lines of insurance, and yeah, certainly terrorism, political risks, cyber coming up, you know, mm-hmm. there's so many things that people don't consider. Even something as simple as, you know, space ventures. Nobody thinks that you would need insurance for that. And you do. And those lines of business are particularly fascinating. Even, you know, towards the beginning of my career, I spent a little bit of time, again, with data entry mainly, but it was looking at events insurance. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all those pop stars and, you know, footballers and things, all of those are insured, many of them through Lloyd's of London. So it is quite interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like you say, I don't think it's unique to insurance, to be fair with you, that you kind of stumbled into this career path.
Yeah.
It's very interesting that the amount of people we've had on this podcast who've, you know, incredibly successful careers all sort of reference the same thing. I think you kind of find yourself a starting point. And I think people who tend to do well, I think they just kind of gravitate towards what's interesting, and therefore kind of this career emerges. Did it kind of feel that way with you? You know, once you were in there, you kind of were able to have a bit more of a generalist perspective on what you were doing, and it wasn't just confined to like data entry at the first point. It was like, oh, actually getting to grips with understanding the ecosystem of this business, you know, and that kind of has enabled you to sort of, you know, kind of progress from there. Was that kind of the case for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the best parts of actually starting my career in data entry and starting from the bottom was that I was exposed to so many different classes of business and so many areas of the business. And that at least then gave me the opportunity to look at the bits that I was interested in and pick up on, you know, where I wanted to go and those areas of interest. Absolutely. I mean, it may sound strange to say you're interested in terrorism, but, you know, when you dig down deeper into it and you start thinking about the mindset and analysing that and trying to predict where the next event's going to happen or what the motives of those people are, that's when things become quite fascinating. And I think that's why I've ended up in the analytics space, is because digging down into that deeper is interesting. And yeah, that's come about through a natural progression. I haven't actively sought out the roles that I've ended up in. Those have just, as you say, come naturally based on those areas of interest.
Absolutely. And I think it's a great rule of thumb for people as well. It's like, I think people who approach a job like a job and not actually try and have that curiosity about like where you fit into the bigger picture and understanding the bigger picture. I like that lesson for anyone really, you know, especially people junior in the career. If you think what's your job and you go, oh, you know, I do data entry, or if you go in and say, yeah, I enter all this data and it comes from X, Y, Z places, and that impacts that, and that ultimately impacts that, and you're able to kind of look at things from that perspective. I think it's just something that, I don't know, maybe you just don't learn in a traditional educational setting, and it's not something that is necessarily a taught behaviour. It's quite, you know, instinctive, and typically it's the curious kind of people that end up kind of thinking in those ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think often people think that they might not have the skills for something in particular, but they don't realise that actually every skill that you're learning throughout your life is setting you up for the role that you'll end up in. I go back to the fact that I did interior design. Part of that was having to learn building codes. So actually, by then learning the building codes, you're learning about the building types. And when you then are transferring that to property insurance, for example, you're already ahead of the game because you know what the risks are that are involved in those particular types of property.
Yeah, interesting.
So it's just thinking about those things in a slightly different way. And equally, on the analytics side of things, when I think about, again, the creative aspect of interior design, you are then able to apply that creativity and the methods that you would employ in that kind of role to things like designing dashboards. And they help you to, you know, to have a cliche, they help you to think outside the box and approach things in a slightly different way. And especially when you've got a team of people that are from a variety of backgrounds, so you'll have underwriters, brokers, you'll have people from mathematical backgrounds, it's important to then have the other functions that you wouldn't think of, like something that's a little bit more creative.
Absolutely. It's definitely an underrepresented thing within data and analytics anyway, is the need and the necessity for, I think, a creative thought, train of thought. Again, probably a total misconception, but I think something that's really important and massively underrepresented. You see people who are able to creatively think up, you know, ideas within the data and what they could potentially use it for. You know, that's almost becoming kind of a necessity if you want to get to a certain level within that space.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Do you think that the kind of, I don't know how to call it evolution, but it seems to be some momentum behind, you know, the CDO role, and I mean the chief data officer role, as like a executive leadership positions, and people holding, instead of it kind of falling under a CIO or a CTO. Do you think that like the emergence of that is a positive thing, because it kind of has that now like executive positioning within an organization? Do you think that more of that will be a positive thing?
I do. I think having somebody that is, you know, the data officer at that senior level is really important, because they're the ones that can push the development of systems, and especially in finance, where I think sometimes we're perceived as being a little bit behind. I think it's even more important to have those people at that senior level to be able to direct the board on where they should be heading with data.
Yeah,
I think it's very easy for some situations or some management teams to not consider the data and the importance of technology to their business. Whereas, you know, clients are driving it from the bottom. You need to have the buy-in from senior management to be able to push that down the chain and provide the investment. So, you know, I think an information officer to me seems more of a, you know, compliance driven role when it comes to, you know, privacy and things like that. Whereas I think the data officer role is important to focus on investment, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's, you know, do you think that's still problematic, is perhaps the justification of like mass investment into data analytics teams? Or do you think we've kind of turned that corner now and there's a bit more of a, you know, broader understanding within an organization about where the kind of direct value is being drawn from? You know, the kind of idea of a silver bullet comes to mind at times. But, you know, do you think now the education piece is still ongoing and key within an organization for them to ultimately comprehend where the majority of the value is being driven from these kind of teams?
I think we're a lot better at this kind of thing than we have been before. I don't think that there will ever be a time where we don't need more push on the importance of data, because technology changes so fast that you need to be able to keep up with that. And, you know, who knows where we're going to be in 10 years' time and what the requirements are going to be in 10 years' time. And I think that's going to be part of the focus, is being able to keep up with the pace of change.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. It's an interesting one, and I think that, you know, I think that in itself, it gives confidence that the team's there. But even for like continued and further investment, do you think that's going to be enough? Do you think that now, because of the various incidents that have made national headlines, etc., that like that's a given that budgets are being raised just in general around kind of data and the way that we're handling it?
I don't know if it's so much to do with, you know, incidents that are happening or anything, but I think clients are at the heart of business.
Mm-hmm.
So what your clients want is what you're going to have to deliver. And if the clients are pushing for more investment in data, and, or, you know, not necessarily investment, but if, you know, their requirements are that they want a data-driven approach to you servicing them, then that's what you've got to provide.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, really interesting. So just to shift gears a little bit, want to talk about, I suppose it's a slight gear change, but talk about technical change within your industry specifically. I know that in the notes you mentioned digital mines as an example. Again, how necessary is it still to kind of have these movements and, you know, make sure that there is visibility around promoting kind of continued changed and disruption, whatever you like to call it, within specifically in this case the insurance industry?
Well, I think the London market is unique in the way that it operates anyway. Mm-hmm. And it's when it comes to technological developments, it's important because the market is working as one. It's important for people within the market to be working together. So I think initiatives like Digital Mines are extremely important for the industry because it brings different perspectives from different companies, different roles. It brings all of those people together to look at things and consider things from a different approach. So it goes back to where I was talking about having mathematicians and brokers and underwriters and creative types in the same space and all working together to implement different projects. It kind of works the same way with this, where you have those people from underwriting, broking, you have actuaries, you have catastrophe modelers, data scientists, and you have all of those people coming together to work on initiatives that are important to the market as a whole.
Yeah.
You know, some of the initiatives that people are working on are, you know, improvements in the process of placing insurance. Other things are more focused on promoting the insurance industry both within it and outside it. So, for example, Digital Minds gets involved with the STEMETS, which is actively promoting science, technology, engineering and maths to young girls who wouldn't necessarily be considering those types of roles. And that's taking it outside of the insurance space as well, just to encourage people into that space.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We've also got things like the London Market Group. They're hosting a roadshow for university students. And there's all sorts of these initiatives that are all being worked on to try and raise the profile and get more people from varied backgrounds into the industry, because all of that is going to help with, you know, collaboration and bringing those ideas in.
So, Natalie, we'll close it down here. But before we go, just last one, as we always do. Anyone interested? Obviously, sounds like there's some incredibly exciting stuff going on with obviously kind of the buyout over there at JLT. Well, Marsh JLT now. anyone interested to kind of get in touch, learn more about this career, specifically get involved in any of the kind of activities that you're involved in, meetups, etc. Where's the best place they can go, I suppose, to check out careers, and then secondly, get involved with anything that you're particularly passionate about?
Well, I'm always here to answer questions if people are interested on LinkedIn. They can look me up. But otherwise, there are quite a lot of resources out there for the insurance industry. You've certainly got the London Market Group, which has got specific areas for graduates looking for more details on the industry. You've certainly got every insurance company's website that will help point you in the right direction. And then there are other things. I think there's London Insurance Life, which also is worth looking up, as they provide some pretty useful insights into the industry for anybody that's wishing to join it.
Awesome. Natalie, it's been a pleasure. You've been brilliant. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the show. I look forward to hearing everyone's thoughts on this episode over on the Venturers Voice Slack group. See you next time.